Hello and welcome to the iPhone and iPad gaming podcast provided to you by your friends at Pocket Gamer. I am Will Wilson, I'm your host tonight, and with me is Keith Andrew.
Hello.
And John Jordan.
I'm going to refuse to turn up one day if this is how I get treated.
I listened to the opening of last week's, obviously, because I wasn't here, and that's the first time I'd heard this use of Bond behind John's name.
Going on for a while.
Yeah, it's been going for a little bit now. Yeah, so John Jordan, he's a man. He's a man with a Midas touch.
Don't you have to pay some kind of fee to...
No, if you're under 10 seconds, you're fine. Read all the rules. Did music tech. First class degree.
Should I also check if you're recording?
I'm recording, my friend.
You're recording, are you?
I've been recording since the very beginning. It's a very good podcast, this one already. I mean, we've before we've even started. No, because we just finished recording an interview of Hog Rocket, makers of Tiny Invaders, ex Bizarre Creations guys. They will be speaking exclusively to us a little bit later on in the program. I really do sound like Radio 5. Man, but yes, no, that's why it's going to be an excellent podcast. We got back chat back, basically, and that means I can use the theme, and that was a sample of the theme, but I'm not going to use it all just yet, so we'll get back to that in a bit. But before all that, before the excitement, we should do the advert. I think
the advert,
aren't we?
Okay.
Yeah,
have we got another advert?
Yeah, we've got another advert for Nightly Night, isn't it?
Nightly Night.
Yeah.
Was Keith not here last week or something?
No, where the hell was Keith? My God, jeez. Get with the times, Keith. Anyway, we should do the advert. So we'll do the first one now. Remember, I know these adverts are not ideal, but...
Ah, the Middle Ages. Harking back to yore. A time of honour. Chivalry and brutal gladiatorial combat. Compete for honor and glory in the old tournament upon thy trusted steed. Beseech thine enemies to compete with thee. Boasting Bluetooth-enabled multiplayer, thou canst put thy friends to the sword as well. I did.
Seek out Nighty Knight, Knight in the medieval armor-clad sense, with the app.
So yeah, that was the advert. I don't know how many weeks we got this advert for. I should talk to David. Rather, I should corner David and then put his head against the wall and shout at him.
Four-week deal.
Like Batman. Is it 4 week? Okay, so this is the second week, so 2 more weeks after this. But anyway, you're going to hear another one later. It's not that bad, to be fair. If you've been listening to Spotify recently, now those are some really bad adverts.
They're awful, aren't they? Yeah.
Oh, they're so bad. The Met Police one, it's basically like a big old bully going, "Why are you hitting yourself? Why are you hitting yourself? Why are you hitting yourself?" Well, he hits you in the face with your own hand. And then it turns around and goes, "Met Police, we're not bullies." Don't worry about it, mate. Why are you hitting yourself?
Why do they need to advertise?
Well, they're advertising because they're just saying to yourself, "Don't worry about it, mate. Don't worry about it. Just because we're hitting you doesn't mean you're hurting." Yeah? You pull out your MP3 player. He pulls out his MP. He pulls out £200. "I'm just listening to my tunes. He's a target for robbers." Basically, it's just like an advert aimed at the people who are like those sort of gullible and sort of easily influenced people who would cower in their houses at night because they think they're going to be mugs the minute they step out their door. It's really bad. Anyway, sorry. I'm annoyed about that. I think it's just a bullying advert. Anyway, it's not like one of those. It's much better than that. The news is coming up.
This podcast will take forever.
The news is coming up right now.
News!
Okay, first up on the news this week, Gameloft has cancelled March of Heroes, their first Unreal Engine game, and they've gone and cancelled it now.
Strange, isn't it?
It is strange. Why would that be, Keith?
Me?
Yeah.
It would be because their developers are focusing on developing awesome games in the months to come and working on making them better than ever.
The problem is normally we can get away with just reading stuff we've already written, but in that sense, that's PR fluff, surely. What's the real reason behind it? I did ask our contact, GameLoft UK.
Did not say very much.
He didn't reply.
No.
Why would they announce this? Why wouldn't they just let it die quietly?
Well, no, they can't. I mean, they
can't let it die quietly.
They can't let it die because it's such a high profile game. Yeah. That obviously,
you can let it die. I'd let it die.
No, because they showed it at E3 and people played it at E3 and people wrote hands on. So if it's not coming out, then you get these bigger conspiracy theories and just kind of going, oh, we cancelled it, and then no one ever mentions it ever again.
I was a little bit surprised they weren't demoing it at Gamescom and they chose to do Mortal Kombat 3 instead.
Well, like,
I did ask about it then and they were like, oh, no. But yeah.
Just they've announced it now, they might have cancelled it a long time ago.
Yeah. So what do you think the reasons were? Personally, I think it was because they're basically making two games in the same space.
Well, not really. I don't know. I mean, but it seemed like, I mean, I hadn't played it. It seemed like this was like zooming around the place, sort of kind of geographically and chronologically. There was like a bit of it like set in Vietnam, and then it looked like a bit of it set in...
Well, it was their Black Ops pretender, wasn't it? Because Black Ops is set between the 60s and 70s. So it's sort of like, it spans a certain, about a decade. So I thought that was what they were going for with March of Heroes in that sense.
No, I mean, basically, there's two obvious reasons. There's two kind of logical reasons why they canned it. One, because it wasn't very good, and two, because they had something weird happen with Unreal. But as they've said, as they've made this big fuss about how we're still making games for Unreal, then you kind of assume it can't be anything to do with Unreal, because otherwise they wouldn't be making any games for it. I mean, and obviously other people made loads of people making
Unreal. It's basically not very good.
So there's some chance to be. They've been testing it, and they don't think for some reason that it would score very well or something. But I mean, it does seem a bit odd. Because one, they don't spend any money on marketing. So normally, if like a big game, you're going to spend more marketing it than you do developing it. But as they don't spend any money marketing their games effectively, then you might as well, as has been discussed, not all their games are great. And they just you can just put it out there. And, they're not like I don't think they're a company particularly, up to this point at least, has focused massively on quality in that kind of high-end sense. I mean, maybe that's the other thing. Maybe they've decided, right, all our games now are going to be, they looked at EA buying people like Fireman, and they looked at how Chinlingo's games now, the ones they're publishing, are a lot better quality than before, and really decided, unless we think this game's going to get 8 out of 10 from Pocket Gamer, we're not going to release it.
Well, it'd be nice if they thought that.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think they will, but...
I think you have... When a market's starting up, and you could argue this has happened for the smartphone market, it would kind of become a little bit of volume. So Chinlingo is the best example that, They made their reputation by just literally releasing pretty much anything they could get their hands on. I mean, I'm being a bit rude there, but effectively they just released a lot of stuff. But obviously over time, as the market gets bigger, then you kind of want to focus more on quality, so you end up releasing less games and they're better. And and Gameloft has kind of released a lot of games, and they've been kind of pretty good, but now when you have people like Fireman or people like Fish Labs, who are these kind of relatively small independent studios, or Fireman was until it got bought by EA, who are producing fantastic quality games, and I think people like Gameloft have to kind of buck their ideas up. So, I mean, it's to me it still seems odd, because it seems like from what was available and what people have played, it seemed like it was fairly finished. So, it's a strange one.
Personal feeling, I don't think that Gameloft's 3D engine or whatever it is that powers their 3D graphics that'd be the engine is that great as well. Personally, I'm just sort of looking back for a Twitter comment that one of our readers asked me, saying he thinks the Gameloft engine has improved recently, and I think it has, but I mean I still can't get over the blocky heads.
Presumably the whole point was it is Unreal, so I mean that would be a reason why they wouldn't cancel it.
Bloody hell, hang on. I've just got a text from a friend saying, fancy having a beer? It's like almost 8 o'clock. Anyway, by the time I get down to them, it would be like 9, even if I set off now. So I don't really know why they're... Anyway.
There's nothing wrong with 9.
It's a Thursday freaking evening, and I've got to be up at 7.
That's all right. We go out later than that.
Anyway, let's move on. Rockstar. Rockstar is bringing Max Payne Classic, as in Max Payne 1. That's what you call classic now. To mobiles. It was announced at the same time as they announced Max Payne 3 for consoles. Max Payne 1 was, of course, not developed by Rockstar. It was developed by Remedy, but published by Rockstar. This is back... This is back in the day. It's PS2 era.
Well, it was PC originally, wasn't it?
It was PC originally, yeah. Personally, Max Payne 1's good. It was good at the time, but Max Payne 2 is a classic. Max Payne 1 was great because it had bullet time, which was, I believe, the first game to have bullet time.
Yeah.
No, Max Payne 2 was like, that was when they perfected the formula. Because the problem with Max Payne 1 is that every corner has bullet jump. Like, you have to dive and bullet time around every corner. And it's always the same. There's 90-degree corner, you bullet jump, bullet time jump round the corner, and you shoot the guys around there, and then you go to the next 90-degree corner and you do the same. And I think it was about like about 2 levels from the end, I decided, I'm a bit bored of this now. Max Payne 2 is just classier.
Which was the one? But one of them was it Max Payne original one where you kind of had the freaky dream sequences where you're in.
You have the freaky dream sequences on the original, and you have on the second one. You have TV screens that start narrating what you're doing.
I can't remember the second one so well. The second one, you end up playing different characters, didn't you?
You did. You had the woman with the sniper rifle, but also in the sort of shutdown fairground. But also you had just one superb level where you have a mob boss with the head of baseball, what's his name, this cartoon character. He's wearing this plastic head of that, like a sponsor in a football match. Mascot. And he's got a bomb strapped to that he can't take this helmet hat off. And you're stuck trying to escort him across the town while you're being shot. It's amazing. It's brilliant. Anyway, Max Payne 1 isn't quite as good as that. You've got Corridors of Blood. And it's coming to mobiles. It's really all the news. I mean, like, the fact that we talked a lot about it means, you know how much of a...
Corridors of Blood sounds like a good subtitle to me.
Sounds like a name of a death metal band.
Corridors of Blood!
It's a weird one to choose, though. If you think about it, I mean, I guess they could think it's for performance reasons, but I think... I mean, Max Payne 2 was on PS2 as well, wasn't it? You could run them on the hardware now. You just kind of think, it's kind of a bit of a
start with Max Payne 1, go to Max Payne 2.
Yeah, I suppose they could do, see how it goes. It's kind of weird.
A little bit worried.
If they're doing Max Payne 3, EA did with, well, it is a bit different. EA with Dead Space, but when Dead Space 2 came out, they released Dead Space 1 on mobile. It just kind of seems
that's not Dead Space 1 that was on the consoles. That was
But I just kind of wonder if they're doing Max Payne 3, you might as well just say we're doing a Max Payne 3 for mobile rather than doing. I mean, I don't know. That may be good. I think it was. I guess it's interesting because Rockstar, I mean, they haven't done a vast amount of stuff, have they? Really? I mean, Take Two again haven't, as a publisher, haven't done a lot of mobile stuff, so they've done the GTA Chinatown Wars. But so it's good to see, obviously. If this does well, presumably the fact that
they could bring Max Payne, the original, which is a PS2 game, to mobiles, that's pretty good for people who don't, who are looking for more PS2 era games to come over, say Grand Theft Auto 3.
Oh, you wouldn't want to play that on a touchscreen.
I just want to play it again.
Oh, we're going to start with PS2.
that's
what worries me about all these games. I'm not sure how much thought is. They're kind of.
Yeah, I'm slightly worried about Max Payne's controls because we saw a 9mm. I didn't think they did well. Gameloft didn't do the controls very well there. I'm not sure how much better Rockstar or. It's bound to be Leeds, surely, doing this because they're their mobile arm.
You would think so, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure how much they could do to make it better than 9mm.
I don't think I'd want to play Grand Theft Auto on a mobile device, to be honest.
Do you play Chinatown Wars?
No.
It's very good. No, but it's surprisingly good.
I'm not someone who thinks that it should all be really simple games that you only play for a couple of seconds. But in the same turn, I don't really want to be sat looking at a small screen playing something mammoth like that. It's kind of.
Would you rather be sitting on a small screen playing Natural Motion's next game, mm-hmm. which will be a freemium horse title?
Freemium horse.
My horse. My horse.
That just makes me think of Father Ted, to be honest.
My horse. Yeah, it's my lovely horse from Natural Motion. yeah. So
out now. Out today.
It's out today. Well, yesterday, if you're listening to the podcast. Yes, my horse.
Sounds like a hardcore release to me.
By the way, if you want to upgrade my horse, you're going to have to spend a kingdom on it. Yeah. I was trying to find the way of shoehorning that in. It's a freemium game. You get to look after your horse, groom it, ride it, go into Gymkhana's, complain about it to the other mothers. Oh, no, that's your daughter. Feed it, groom it. That's still your daughter. But also you could do that with the horse as well. That sounded so dodgy as well. Right, anyway.
Hanging in the wind there. Not getting involved.
Anyway, you can buy virtual goods for your horse. Stuff like, I don't know, better, luckier horseshoes. Funkier hair.
Joke, it probably will be.
No, it probably will be, I know.
Just professional saddles and tat.
Tat.
That's very honest.
That is very honest.
And other tats.
So if you're a bit under the weather, a bit hoarse, then
these are getting worse, Will.
Different breeds as well. Nintendo for horses.
The only problem is that with horse games for me, I'm not sure about the depth. You know, I don't know how if I'd be playing them for long. Furlong. You see, I wouldn't be playing them furlong. Anyway, there's so many horse puns you could do.
Apparently so.
Some ruder ones as well. But
yeah, I could whip some up, but I'm not going to. Right, anyway, this has spurred me on to move to the next story, which is Phone Story. Not a Kairosoft game. Don't get excited. We just saw an Android exclusive Kairosoft game launch. It's not out yet on the iPhone. It's very good, so we'll no doubt see that eventually, though. Anyway, it's not about that. It's not about Kairosoft at all. Molly Industria. Indie dev makes Flash PC games. Or PC Flash games. About mainly controversial subjects, I'd say. I'd say they're not afraid of pushing a few envelopes.
That's kind of the point, isn't it?
Yeah. And they released Phone Story on iTunes. Actually, Mike picked up on it the moment it was released. And then, of course, about an hour or two later, it was pulled off the market.
It was literally 3 hours, wasn't it?
Literally 3 hours, yeah. If you don't know what it's about, you basically experience how your phone got into your hands. So you start off with the what kind of mine is it again? It's a Coltan mine in Congo with armed guards guarding the children as they mine away this mineral. And you go through to the suicides at Foxconn with people throwing themselves out the window and you trying to catch them. And then the bit where you sell the phone at a pair store, you know, because it's not the same as Apple. And then you throw the phone to consumers who are running madly at the shop front. So, yeah, it's a bit of a satirical swipe at consumerism and the pressures it causes on the global environment to satisfy the consumerist desire. And it was banned three hours after it went live on the App Store.
It brought up two interesting points, really. That Mike was saying at the time that exactly how long do Apple check things like this before they get through, and then conversely, I'm not even going to attempt to say their name, know exactly what they were doing, because they were the person who announced it had been banned. They were, you know, it, 3 hours after it.
Yeah, we all suspect his most special for our podcast listeners. We all suspect this was all orchestrated, because if it hadn't have gone through, I'm sure they've had a press release ready to tell everyone it's been banned, and then it'd be up in the Android market, and we could see. Well, as it was let through, which is probably even better for them, because they had an Android Market version up almost instantly after this got banned. And I don't know anything about coding. Well, I do actually, but I don't know anything about Android coding. But I do know that you can't just convert an iPhone game into an Android game by pressing a button. It actually requires a completely different language. So
But you can use tools that in such a way that will effectively give you an iPhone version and an Android version from the same kind of project.
I don't think this is actually made with one of those, though, is it? That's the sort of cross-platform.
Either way, the fact they had it ready to go, but it didn't launch at the same time, waited until the iPhone one had been banned, I think suggests that, you know, it's a smart bit of marketing, really.
So we got our hands on with it. Mike sat down, our indie expert. You will know him from the book 250 Indie Games You Must Play Before You Die. I just plugged it for him there. He owes me one now. It's not a game I'd like to play.
Its point is its existence rather than the experience.
I like the way the guards are smiling in the picture, though. They look happy.
Oh, but if you do buy it, if you've got an Android phone and you buy it, then they will give the rest.
Android phone? What's...
No idea. It's some sort of crap. It's like the new Java, I think. I'm only a bit annoyed because my Android phone's been crashing on me today. I've been pretty pissed off with them. Right, well, last news story. We've got to rush through this quickly because we've got an interview to fit in the middle of this podcast. Shadowgun is out on the 28th of September. I'm pretty sure we confirmed that date before, but Madfinger has confirmed it again. By the way, Madfinger has provided me with possibly my favourite T-shirt that I've ever got. It is amazing. I like this T-shirt a lot. But I like their game as well. I thought it was very good when I played it.
Is it a Shadowgun T-shirt or a Madfinger T-shirt?
No, it's a Madfinger T-shirt. It's a picture of a thumb with the iconic pirates-like eye patch. But he's in the body of he's been put on a body of a huge machine with like a minigun on his right arm, and it's just very well done. I've had people come up and saying, "That's a really good T-shirt. What's that from?" I'm like, "Well, it's free. I feel a bit jammy now." but yes, anyway, Madfinger, they not only make good looking T-shirts, they make good looking games. And it is out on the 28th for iPhone and iPad. You should know what Shadowgun is. It's basically, it's picking up quite a lot of hype, I'd say. It looks like Gears of War. I think that's what are you whistling about?
I was just going to do the Mad World theme there, never mind. As you say that, the Gears of War 3 advert's on the telly.
Well, yes. So Gears of War 3 is the big news right now on consoles, but on Xbox, not on PS3. But yes, so Shadowgun is trying to aim to out Epic on the iOS. We'll see how it does in about 2 weeks' time, so stay tuned for that. Right, let's move on. Let's go to the new releases roundabout. This week on New Releases, we're burning a rope with flicking Serious Sam into a kamikaze attack.
I've missed that.
So,
you didn't
right.
mention the Puffles.
The Puffles? Mm. Oh dear. Sorry. I missed out the iPhone 5 rumour, but it's an iPhone 5 rumour.
We'll have one next week.
It's coming up. It's in October or something. Anyway. sorry, Keith. Right. Okay. So I'm gonna be really selective about what we pick here because overall this podcast is gonna already be like an hour. So here we go. Out this week we've got Run Fox Run, which is an endless runner game with a fox. I've played it. It's okay. I wouldn't say it's amazing. Mm-hmm. Flick Champions, which is Tlingo's. I think it's quite well timed this because Flick Champions has got quite a lot of press, but there's also a game which is sort of similar to it, which is what's it called?
Flick something else.
And who was that calling you?
I was hoping I'd got away with that.
Globless Mania is also out, which is flick-based multiplayer game, which we haven't got on the midweek roundup, but I quite like that at Gamescom.
That's been around for ages on the web and DS.
CS Chillinga's Flick Champions is in direct competition with that. I haven't played Flick Champions yet. Okay. Hunger Cause is up next. I can't talk that much about it because Keith has been playing it, but all I can tell you is that he loved it.
Are you going to edit that out, Will?
I'm going to edit out the first bit. I might keep up keeping the second.
It looks better in this video, actually.
He didn't love it, but we'll get on to that in a bit. Burn the Rope Worlds is also out. I played a little bit of Burn the Rope. I'm not a big fan of it, to be honest.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, but
it's okay. Didn't really ignite. I don't know. Farm Frenzy 3 is also out this week, which I will talk about a bit later.
Which one?
Farm Frenzy 3.
Missing loads of them. Standard Food 3 as well.
Standard Food 3 is G5 Entertainment's latest release. They are becoming the Chillingos in terms of how many times they release per week. It does look quite good, though. That's a time management game, so if you like those, check them out. They were the guys behind Jack of All Tribes. Publisher. Serious Sam Kamikaze Attack is probably the biggest release of the week. It's one of the spin-off games from the upcoming Serious Sam 3, developed by different indie studios. It's one of Crow Team's little crazy developments. Have you seen some of Crow Team's PR that they've done for Serious Sam 3? Because I've got to say, their approach to PR is refreshing. It's just like... It's completely misogynistic and deliberately so, and completely inane. And
inane?
Yeah, it's just like, good. Well, no, it's so deliberately idiotic that it's hilarious. They'll just go on about they'll just go off on one about how you can, I don't know, how best to enjoy it around Josh's house or stuff like this. I know, this is mental. Yeah, precisely. They're just being idiots. They're just making up.
I've not seen him for years.
But I'm editing out this bit.
Have you added me?
Probably, but you weren't working when I did.
It's working now. It's working ever since I borrowed a friend's iPad and put it on iOS 5. Suddenly it kicked into gear.
Right, so that is the... Well, no, I was waiting for an edit break. It wasn't that I was... Not interested in what you just said.
Who's Will Wilson?
Will Wilson, that's not me. What, on Game Center?
Yeah, Jim never has a second cup of coffee at home.
Oh, wait, that's me. Yeah, you've already added me then. Well, you see,
you've changed your name. Oh,
no, it's when you add me. You know what my name is once you've added me.
It hadn't refreshed.
I heard from Eli that he gets like hundreds and hundreds of friend requests, and I sat there thinking, well, you know, don't complain if you're going to put your name, your name's the same as your name. Exactly. Well, that's the reason why I've picked a completely random name.
No one was going to add you. Well,
I've got the only friends I need. Chris, Emily.
In your head.
Jasmine. Oh, sweet, sweet Jasmine. How have you followed that night?
Have you been buying more of those real-life doll things?
That's Will's Christmas present.
They cost a lot of money.
They do.
Especially the way you treat them.
Oh, yeah. Well, you've got to treat them rough, haven't you? Let's move on from the new releases roundabout, and let's go to the... Guess what? The audience are in place. I'm just hearing that the curtain has been pulled back. Yes, it's time for Backchat. Welcome back to Backchat. We've been away for about 4 or 5 months, but we're back now. And in the studio with us this week is... Hog Rocket! That was a lot more excited than the previous time when I didn't press record. With us is Peter Collier and Ben Ward, and the final member of Hog Rocket is Stephen Cakebread, who's not here with us tonight. But thank you guys for joining us.
Thanks very much.
Hog Rocket, of course, is a new iOS studio, but you guys have been around for a lot longer than you know, just purely from iOS. Do you want to speak about a bit more about where the company was born from and what previous projects you worked on?
You're right. We've actually been in games, the three of us, for quite a while now. We worked at a big company called Bizarre Creations before doing Hulk Rocket. You probably know Bizarre. They were famous for doing Project Gotham Racing. We finished up on James Bond, Bloodstone, and Blur. And then, unfortunately, at the start of this year, the company was actually shut down and we were all made redundant, which was a real shame. And there's a lot of sort of talent that's dispersed from this area. But for us, it was a really good opportunity to sort of execute the plan that we had ticking over in our brain, which was Hulk Rocket. So we've kind of made that jump over from console development to mobile and that kind of space. And there's been a lot to learn and a lot to catch up on, but it's been really, really good sort of 9 months so far.
I've got to say, I was a little bit heartbroken to hear that you guys had closed down, because me and Keith, we were at Blur. We were sort of at each other's throat with Blur.
I lost many an evening trying to beat Will's impossible targets on Blur. But
they weren't impossible. They were just too good.
Yeah, no, impossible for me.
And the friend challenge, right?
Yeah.
Everything he did, I got sent. I would turn up and I would have six sat there every time I'd start it up and think, oh no.
That's really good to hear, because a guy who I worked with actually put the friend challenge mode in the game. And it was a little bit like, I think it's a good idea. I'm not sure how many people will use it. But then in the office, him and another guy just constantly got addicted to sending challenges back and forth. And it became a really big thing between the team. So I'm glad to hear other people are playing it as well.
Yeah. It's on a similar vein to what it was like with similar to Trials HD as well, and games like that, where you get a text through from your friend about 3 o'clock in the morning or something, just saying, I've beaten your time. And you just, A, hate them for texting you at 3 o'clock in the morning, but then I have to go down and confirm it and beat the time because they've woken you up anyway or something like that.
Do you guys think that sort of friend challenge sort of the thing is almost ideally suited for the smartphone gaming, or is it just good across all platforms? As the smartphone is going to be around you all the time, you've got push notifications and all this, and Game Center, of course.
I think it depends on the device, really. With console games, you sort of go to the console to have a dedicated game session where you know you're going to be playing it for a set period of time. Whereas really, with one of the things we're discovering with game design wise with the iPhone and with mobile in general, is that it's very much they're things that you carry with you whilst you're getting on with the rest of your life. So session times are very very bitty and very small, you know. So I think it just depends what you do with that session time. But I think the social side of things is relevant, whatever, really, whether it's the console or mobile.
I should really say, of course, your latest game, which is, well, your debut game, in fact, is Tiny Invaders, which was released on the App Store about two or three weeks ago.
On the 1st of September,
of September, yeah. So that was, I was pretty much spot on with that, yes. So first of all, I got to ask, how has it done? And how has it done sales wise? Are you happy with the performance, or?
It's I'm not sure what we were really expecting from the launch, to be honest, because we're in it for the long run. So we're not sure whether a big launch was a good thing or a bad thing, and we don't really know what sort of sales we would consider good or bad. But just sort of looking at the first couple of weeks of stats that have come through, I think we're pretty happy with it, and there seems to be quite a decent following behind it. And, you know, it's made a bit of money, and we're certainly not going to sort of shut down the company or anything like that. But unfortunately, we're not Angry Birds yet. So we're doing pretty well. We're very happy with it so far.
And, I think considering our position as a newcomer to the fray, we've done pretty well, I think. You know, it's I think we've covered the cost of the project already within the first 2 weeks. That's in terms of our own company costs and things. We've still got a way to go before to cover our living expenses for the past 7 months. But we're you know, we've pretty much covered our costs for the project company-wise, which can only be a good thing, I think.
Yeah, for me, it's going to get interesting in the next few months when we keep adding to the game and we do a few updates and we add more levels and things like that. And then I think it will really find its feet then. We're proud of the game and it's got a pretty good critical reception as well. So hopefully as we keep adding to it and keep sort of building on the franchise, I think it will all come together quite nicely.
Actually, Pocket Gamer is the worst review so far.
We were quietly. Yeah, thanks, guys.
But yeah, it's cool. Overall, we're really happy with the reception, considering it's our first game and kind of we're learning on our feet as far as game design goes on the mobile. We've still got a lot to learn. But we're happy with what we've done in terms of the polish we put into it. And the one thing we really tried hard to do with the game was make sure that it was very playable in small snippets, so you can just pick up, play a couple of levels in a couple of minutes, then put the game down. We think that we've got that sort of replayability factor in there, and that kind of must get to the next level, must get to the next thing kind of in there with the rhythm of the game, which is good.
That's kind of how we designed the game in the first place, wasn't it? We looked at what was out there, and we sort of analysed how people play iPhone games, because obviously we're from the console world where it's completely different. So we had to really do our homework from the ground up.
What were the sort of games you were looking at when you were doing that research and homework?
Well, we were looking at all the big guys. So obviously Angry Birds, Cut the Rope, things like that. But we were playing a lot of Train Conductor and basically every game we could get our hands on. And the theme that was prevalent through most of them was that you can play it in very, very short sessions. Like you can play it in 60 seconds or whatever. And we kind of like made a joke between ourselves that we're going to make a game that people can play when they're on the toilet, when they're taking a dump or something like that, you know.
When people are taking a shit, that's our time.
Which is like completely different from console. So in terms of that, I think we're pretty successful. If only we could gather a metric and sort of prove it, I don't know.
I don't want to say that I did play the game while I was on the loo, but that may have happened.
it was certainly a lot harder to play Blur on the toilet, I have to say.
But you managed to
play a series of mirrors.
Yeah, Keith's house is scary, though.
Well, you're just going to leave it at that. Why is it scary?
No more needs to be said.
No more. I mean, the mirrors pretty much hit the nail on the head there. What was the... You were mentioning Train Yard and stuff like that. Was it originally... Because I believe I read in a fantastic interview of PocketGamer.biz, which is one of the sister sites for PocketGamer.co.uk, that the original inspiration was it was going to be about trains originally, and then it changed to infections inside, alien infections inside human bodies. So it started with trains. How did you get to the aliens inside human bodies?
Well, we also looked at the audience on the iPhone, and we sort of realized it was pretty much equally split on gender, fairly broad age range, right across the board in terms of ages, in terms of geography, you know, right across the world between, you know, America and Europe as well. So it's, you have to really consider the iPhone as a game that you're making for the iPhone as something that's universally appealing. Now, what we had before was trains. And instead of the human orbs that you collect now, it was sheep and cows and pigs. And you collected them and put them in your carriage and took them back to the farmhouse. Which was kind of fun, and we did like the style between ourselves, but we thought with trains, and well, A, there was already a lot of train games out there as well, but also we thought that there's just something about it which may be a little too niche if we're trying to be universal. So we contracted our fantastic art guys, Ben Wright and Will Milton. And we just sort of gave them the criteria for, you know, what the game is, what the constraints were of the game designer, thing like that, and also the audience. and we just brainstormed lots of different ideas between us, and this and the theme with infecting the human body and it being these tiny invaders was the one that stood out most as being the most fun and perhaps suitable for the device.
What was it like to move from the because of course the Bazaar was it was a big huge development team, and what was it like to move to a development team of just three people with others brought in from the outside when needed? Was it a change? Was it this more of a brainstorming sort of atmosphere about it, or was it more of a I don't know what was the change like for you guys?
Well, I think we've experienced a bit of everything over the last few months. We initially started with sort of the intentions that we would explore all avenues. And I think we did do a lot of homework in that regard. But we also, that was kind of punctuated through moments of, we've got to make a game. And it's kind of like we kept swinging between one way or the other. But I think generally it's been quite enjoyable, for me at least, because we've got to decide everything. So if there are any mistakes that get made, it's our fault. But then if there are any successes as well, we can take the credit for it too. So whatever we do, we've got a really good handle on it, and that's the bit that I've really enjoyed.
In AAA as well, there's a lot more. On a 200 person team, you really have to have very solid processes in place to organize the development of the game. And everyone has their very specific sort of place within that. So to go from having a very specialist kind of role to being a three-person team in your own company where you are doing everything, it's completely different. So in that respect, it's been really, really refreshing to have that change.
I was going to ask something. I was going to ask about coming from Bazaar. Have you found that having that name behind you, because a lot of people obviously know that's where you're from, has kind of opened doors for you promo wise? Do you think your experience of iOS is different to people who approach it completely fresh without any kind of background?
I think you've got to approach in the way you market yourselves and things. It's really has to be unique to your own setup. And I think we ourselves have written some articles about it, and we've read a lot of other articles about it saying, you know, you should do it like this or you should do it like this. But I think really what we're realizing is just entirely unique to your own setup. And I think, yes, we did have that advantage of already having a lot of contacts with press and existing relationships with journalists and things like that from Bazaar. And we're really, really thankful to have that goodwill that they've shown towards us, you know, because of what happened at Bazaar. So for us, it made sense to sort of, use those relationships as much as possible and talk to everyone we know and get the game name out there. It would have been silly for us to not to. But at the same time, we've tried not to be too overly reliant on using the Bazaar Creations name, because that's in the past now, and it's something different, and we don't want to take advantage of that. We want to stand on our own two feet as Hog Rocket and really establish that as a new thing in its own right with its own identity. We don't want to piggyback on the back of Bazaar Creations at all.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say as well, because Bazaar was 200 people and 200 really talented, really, really good people, and we are but three. So for us to sort of claim any sort of small portion of success based on Bazaar is a little bit, not true. I mean, obviously we worked there and we did our part, but there's a lot more to Bazaar than the three of us. So it has opened doors, but I think we're quite hesitant to sort of say, we're the ex-Bazaar guys, and we've tried to purposely steer away from that a little bit. And well, whether it's come across as that, I don't know, but that's been kind of the idea, as Pete says.
Do you think it added some pressure as well? Do you think there are lots of people out there who might not have paid attention to your game who were then really looking forward to it? Did you feel any kind of added pressure when you were making it?
Undoubtedly. I think there's a weight of expectation on us based on the heritage at Bazaar, and also with, you know, Steve with Geometry Wars, of course, and a lot of Bazaar's games are, you know, fairly hardcore games for the console, and Geometry Wars is, you know, the epitome of a hardcore game. You know, it's a classic hardcore game. So we kind of felt that weight on us that we might get a lot of people very sort of questioning what we came out with in the end with Tiny Invaders, because it isn't a hardcore type game or not what they expected. But we, you know, we take that on board, and knew to a certain extent we would get that. But we, you know, we knew we just needed to make a game for the iPhone audience.
It's not an easy game though. I did notice that. it's quite tough. I mean, like the presentation and the gameplay itself is simple enough, but the actual game itself is not exactly a walkover, is it?
Well, we wanted something that had a bit of a sliding scale to it. So if you go for 3 stars and all the levels, then hopefully it will be quite a challenge. But then if you're the type of more casual gamer that just wants to sort of as much interest in just seeing new content and seeing what the next level brings, then you can sort of breeze through the game a lot easier. I think that's sort of one of the big issues that some reviewers have had with the game, that the challenge level is too low because you can just skip through it. Maybe we were too overly reliant on thinking that people would just would want to go for 3 stars and want to have that challenge, but maybe forcing a little bit of that in is maybe what we should have done with it to sort of force you to hit a certain benchmark.
Well, I don't think so. I think it's kind of an impossible task to juggle the difficulty between the entire spectrum of audience, like Pete was saying earlier. Who do you balance it for? Do you balance it for hardcore teenage male gamers, or do you balance it for 45-year-old females in rural India or something like that? I mean, it's impossible to... I don't know how...
Say Indiana, then.
Rural Indiana, I guess it might be the same kind of thing. You know, like, it's such a difficult thing. So what we opted for was the star system, because then you can effectively play it to your own sort of skill level. And then we allowed people to restart the game and effectively get infinite lives, so that you could never hit a hard stop. You'd never get frustrated with the game, but there's always something there, like a carrot in front of you to do better. And to be honest, I think that's kind of, maybe we could execute it better, but I think that's the right idea.
A lot of what I thought about it was that in my mind, for sort of a lot of the audience, it's as much about new content as it is about the challenge level of the game. I mean, I could be entirely wrong about this, but I've sort of got that opinion that people are just sort of interested in just seeing what the next level brings and just sort of seeing new content. So we really wanted to establish a kind of quick rhythm with the game, where you can really quickly play each level in like 30 seconds to a minute, and then just press play and just hop straight onto the next one. Because the thing is with level-based games is that at every breakpoint between the level, you sort of break the player back into reality, and you give them an opportunity to step off the train, as it were. So we were quite wary of not making failure happen too often in the game. So even if you die, you can just respawn instantly, because we wanted to keep that momentum going when you're in a play session.
Yeah, we found that from playtests, didn't we? We did a whole bunch of playtests with a whole bunch of different people, like a lot of different target demographics. So it wasn't just our game with our friends, but we actually sort of did a brief tour of the country, and we met a whole bunch of really interesting people, and we sort of looked over their shoulder as they played it. And that's one thing. The difficulty came out of those playtests and the changes we made. So I don't know, maybe we were looking at a very narrow segment anyway, but I don't know. We're kind of like still learning all this stuff. So ask us again in a year and we'll probably have a much better answer on all of this.
I do have one question I want to ask now, though. That at the end of Tiny Invaders, once you've been through the president, I'm not giving away a plot twist, surely, there. But there says more levels to come. When will the next level pack arrive?
As soon as we can possibly make it.
I was scrolling on a notepad last night some new level ideas, but sort of trying to think of a new puzzle element as well. That, you know, from the ones that we've got, you know, we've got things that reverse you on track, things that teleport you on track, things that add in a new invader, or germ and the speed boost. And it's actually quite a tricky thing to come up with a new puzzle element. So if anyone listening can think of a new puzzle element that, you know, that enjoys the game and can think of one, then email them to us. Hello at hogrocketgames.com.
Crowdsourcing puzzles.
Exactly. It's the future.
it's a good idea.
Levels kicking around from when we were working on the game, we probably had close to 100 levels in our prototype, and we threw away quite a lot of them because they weren't up to the quality standard that we wanted. But there's potentially something that we can revisit there and tweak them and bring them up to spec now that we've got a little bit more time. So I think there's a few little options we can take, but we'll definitely get something out as soon as possible within the next few weeks, I would hope.
Nice. Good news. Despite John saying that 20 minutes was a very long time for an interview, we've almost hit 40. John, eat that.
I think John's asleep.
He's not actually speaking.
He can't bait me. He can't. I'm not right.
Thank you very much, guys, for joining us tonight. And good luck with Tiny Invaders. It is available now for anyone who absolutely wasn't listening through that. Tiny Invaders is out now from Hog Rocket, and it is priced £1.49 or what's that in dollars? £1.99, right?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, £1.99 or £1.59 in euros, I think. I can't remember the price conversions properly. It's around that, yeah. Well, maybe £1.79. Anyway, it's available now on the App Store. I enjoyed it. I thought the game was very good.
Excellent, glad to hear it.
it's certainly tough though. Well, you see, I'm a 3-star man. You see, I feel like I've not done, and I'm not a man enough if I don't get 3 stars.
Have you 3-starred the whole game then?
No. Well, that's why that's why I said about the difficulty.
He's not man enough.
No. I was thrashing Keith on Blur, damn it.
Yeah. No, I just walked away from it after a while. I thought, no, it's just taking up too much of my life. I've got to get away.
You were the biggest.
It was a case of doing it at 3 a.m, I tell you. And then I would spend about 3 hours doing it, and I would wake up to find Will had beaten them already. And, I'd question my life choices.
Well, we're glad we're causing you plenty of trauma, guys.
it was a trauma. Well, it was traumatic for him. I was fine. I had a very nice sleep every single evening. Anyway, thank you very much for joining us, and and good luck with the level packs. And have you got any idea of what the next title for mobiles will be? Is there something on paper that you can
share? Yeah, we've got a few ideas kicking around.
Ideas,
yeah. Prototypes, but we're not going to say anything yet.
We're not going to say anything because we haven't actually got any kind of name for them yet. So.
Oh, Pete, don't say that. We know exactly what we're doing.
You've got a five-year plan all laid out.
The plan, yeah. Titles.
Fall 2012 will feature.
Something like that.
Cool. I knew it. I know that's how these things go. Thank you very much. Thank you. Right, welcome back to the What We've Been Playing field. So I hope you enjoyed the interview. I've just confused Keith by putting in an edit point so I can put in the interview.
How do you know you've confused me? You can't even see me.
Because I can hear you sniggering.
I always snigger when you're talking, Will.
That is true. But this is that particular kind of sniggering where you're sort of going, what the hell? anyway, we're back. I hope you enjoyed the interview.
Well, we've been playing!
Two games, so I'm going to be very quick. Ancient Trader HD is the iPad version of the Xbox and PC indie title. Xbox, Chris actually emailed me, Chris Schilling, and said, that game's good. And he's right, it is a good game. Hmm. However, it's a good game on Xbox Live Indie. It's not so good on iPad. And I don't know if it's going to be published at the same time as this podcast, but I've put down a 5. Because the AI is atrocious. It's a board game, but there's no online multiplayer. There's only past the iPad multiplayer. Most games take about 30 to 50 turns to complete, so it's too long for anything more than 2 players. You're a trader, and you have your ship, and you move from port to port to trade goods, hopefully buying and upgrading your ship, buying artifacts which unlock the ancient evil thing, which you then fight. The combat system's a bit crap. It's a rock, paper, scissors, but with levels on top. So if your ship has a weapon which is 3 levels higher than any of the enemy's weapons, you'll always win. It's guaranteed. Because if you play the rock to someone's scissor, you gain a level bonus of 2 on your value. So something which is like, say if you're playing a blue cannon against whatever the blue cannon beats, then you'll gain 2 levels. But that's it. You won't automatically win. So anyway, it's an interesting game. I can see it being an extremely competitive multiplayer game. When you've got 4 players all fighting it out, it would be amazing. In fact, I can see exactly where Chris is coming from. But it's very unlikely you're going to have that on the iPad version. You are going to be stuck with brain-dead AI who don't even... I don't even know what the AI was doing. I played about 6 games. Every single game, it never picked up one artifact. It never left the same area. It never beat a single monster. It was just getting clobbered every single time. One game, it upgraded its ship. Like, 3 times at least, and I was sat there thinking, there is no challenge. This is now primarily single player, because there's no easy way of getting a multiplayer in. There's no campaign or anything. It's just single maps or randomly created maps, and that I'm fine with that. It's the randomly created aspect, but there's no challenge. That you've got this great framework, but no brain. So unfortunately, 5.
Kind of game could be updated, doesn't it?
It does sound like kind of game. I'm hoping it will be updated. I just don't understand why it's been released in this state. I can understand why Small World was released without bots, or how Ticket to Ride was released without Hot Seat Multiplayer, because there was so much more of a game around that it didn't. It was a minor point, but in this case, it's a major point. There's no point playing the game. It's just boring. You have a good game here, but there's no challenge. Mm-hmm. It's like playing Hearts with yourself. Anyway, stop playing games with my hearts. Farm Frenzy 3 HD. Right. Okay. So Farm Frenzy. I'm almost certain most people are put off by Farm Frenzy by the look of it, but I've got to say that
very old-fashioned, isn't it?
It's a very old-fashioned, very sickly-looking graphics. I have no idea why.
It's been very successful, isn't it? Well, it's done 3.
It's been very successful. It's a Flash game, Java, and iPhone and Android. So there's plenty of people who've looked past it. But I mean, talking personally, I reviewed first Farm Frenzy on Java, and the first time I saw the graphics, I thought, oh my god, it's going to be another terrible cutesy casual game. It's actually quite vicious. That's the thing about Farm Frenzy. It's far more vicious than most of your time management games. I was playing Jack of All Tribes early on last night, and that game is like, it's cuddly compared to the apparently cuddly Farm Frenzy 3. Any mistake and you get punished. Basically, it's a time management game where you run a farm, all tap-based, of course. So you tap the ground to plant water where your ducks would come across and eat the grass that grows out of it, produce eggs, and then you put the eggs in your warehouse and you put them in the egg powder factory, and they produce powdered eggs, which you then put into this and make cookies, and then you ship them off to the town. But of course, they're laying eggs there, and then you don't have water there, and you're pressing it down. And then, of course, they drop predators in, and you've got to tap them as well, put them in the cage. But they're
bears.
Bears. No, there's bears, there's lions, there's oh geez, what's the other one? Oh, there's like 4 worlds now, 5 worlds. But they're all play effectively the same. This is the problem of Farm Frenzy 3. If you've played Farm Frenzy 2, there's not really that much new on this one. It's just that Alloware have got a little bit better with the with how a lot of the levels are structured. I don't think their levels... I think their difficulty curve is wrong. They spend about 20 levels before it gets really hard for Farm Frenzy veterans. But the actual levels, once you get into them, once they start getting hard, are very well tuned. There's a new element. I can't remember this Farm Frenzy 2, but anyone could be very free to correct me. That you can get resources from your helicopter now, which I can't remember. But and there's also a few more production buildings. A little bit more complication in that regards. But effectively, it's the same game. And I think the game's pretty good. I think it's a lot harder than most time management games. It's certainly got a lot more brain to it. I consider it more of a sort of cross between a puzzle and a time management game. There's normally only one or two ways you can get a gold medal on each level, and they're very deliberate. There's no randomness about them. So, yes, if you're looking for a challenge, but you don't mind the horribly sickly graphics, which I think are just... Wrong. Go on.
Well, no, I was going to say, because I remember I think I reviewed the first one on iPhone, and I've done a couple of Java versions of it, and it's a brilliant game. Really, really good, actually. Really, really good setup. And the speed of it, it has that balance of being quick without kind of completely blowing you away. But I was just going to say, watching that video in the thing, it looks a lot nicer now than it did.
Yeah, the graphics are better because the actual... But they don't. It hasn't changed the formula.
No.
It's very much the same game. It's just that they're slightly nicer graphics. But it's still horribly sickly. I mean, the actual bits in between the levels. And also, I don't like the fact that their upgrade options are always predetermined, effectively. They have a big old red arrow going, you have to upgrade this building for the next level, otherwise you're not going to get a gold. And then you go, okay, I have to upgrade that building. You spend all your stars on it. And then the next level, it goes, you need this one to be upgraded next. And it's kind of like, well, why put an upgrade system in if you're not going to let me choose anything?
Does it carry on doing that all the way?
Yeah, it does, yeah. Well, up until about World 3. But that's by the point where you bought everything. And then it just starts to mix up the building types. And I mean, it's very clever with how it's done the levels. That's what I mean. It's a good game. I'm going to give it a 7. Unless someone steps in and interrupts me, then that should be the score it gets when it goes on the site.
I mean, I've not played this one, but I remember now. I did really, really like.
Yeah, I loved the original, and Farm Frenzy 2 was great as well. I think part of the reason why it's getting a 7 and not maybe an 8 is I don't think there's been enough move forward since Farm Frenzy 2. Frenzy 2 from 1 was actually quite a big jump. They introduced quite a lot of new things, and there was a lot more content, and they were much better of the levels than on Farm Frenzy 1. But there's not quite such a big leap to this next one. Anyway, I've been rambling for ages. Come on, someone else take it. Someone take the baton. Baton!
I've heard you've been playing a really good game, Keith.
Yes. Well, actually, to be fair, this might be a case of when I play it for longer, I end up loving it. But so far, I've been playing another time management game. Hunger Calls, as Will alluded to earlier, from Chillingo Stroke Click Gamer. It's interesting. It feels like a time warp back to the past. The idea is a bit like visiting Yo Sushi or something. Not all of the levels, in most of them, you can control basically a conveyor belt of food as it comes out in a restaurant. So burgers, fries, drinks, whatever. And you basically change the direction of this conveyor belt so that the right orders end up with the right people. This is a fair enough idea. It looks incredibly basic. I mean, it looks like something from years ago, and the balance for me so far is all out. So one of the bonuses, strangely, is that you can speed up the conveyor belt, because a lot of this seems to be measured on obviously how quick you have an earnings target each level, and basically you have to satisfy the customers who then pay you, blah blah blah. So if you do well, you have a certain number of speed boosts you can employ, but using them makes it completely unplayable. Because you tap the button, and before you know it, the order that's meant to be going somewhere has flown past where it's meant to go, and every order you send to the wrong person costs you money, and you have to clear up the mess because they chuck it along the floor. And then as the game progresses, people start getting ill from how much they've eaten. So you have to prescribe them pills, which then you have to direct to them as well. And then, strangely enough, once they're well, they carry on eating. So it's just, it feels really... There are
so
some other
it's
ones.
It's a satirical comment on the modern society of consumerism.
I expect it to be banned any minute now. But no, there are other ones where you flick the orders to them with your finger, which works better, but it's quite basic, really. But the main one, it just doesn't seem to work for me. It's never enjoyable. It's always just kind of slightly out of your grasp. And this idea of actually making it faster, it goes so slow that you do want to make it faster. But the problem is, when you make it faster, you can't do it. So it's just a bit rubbish so far. Maybe it'll get amazingly better, but I can't see that happening. But it literally feels like something lifted from about, you know, when the App Store first kicked off, really.
Mm. That's a shame.
Disappointing. John?
Yeah, what I've been playing. I've been playing a bit of with our guests that we had today. I've been playing a bit of Tiny Invaders, which I have to say I quite enjoy. So yeah, it's a nice twist on that kind of genre of track based. What would you call it? Puzzling? I don't know.
Casual puzzler. I'd put under.
Yeah, as things tend to be these days. I'm not quite sure when the next one was out, but it's called Neon Thrust. It's very, very simple. You basically control a green square who has like one side of him is like has a white line over it, like it's his engine. And you basically go around these, I mean, I guess they're kind of like top down kind of levels where the controls are a bit clunky visually because you have like a virtual control stick on one side which rotates the little chap around, and then you have like another button which kind of powers him forward like he's a rocket or something, and you kind of maneuver around these levels where there's inertia based kind of physics, which personally I always kind of quite like. Because there's so much you can do with them in terms of your kind of like avoid, you know, getting attracted to things or kind of getting repelled from things, and then obviously they're building. You got to collect things and avoid things, and it's it's just really, I don't know whether it's just because I really like inertia games, or whether this is a particularly good kind of example of an inertia game, but it just does everything kind of. Apart from the clunky controls, there's everything quite nicely. That when you basically have to collect a certain number of, there's some secondary things you collect for kind of points, and then there's some kind of important things that you collect. And once you collect all the important things in the level, basically you're on a timer to get out of, to kind of retrace your steps, to get out before the time counts down. And that, again, that's kind of something I quite like as well. Because you're kind of like retracing, kind of where you've been before. So it's kind of like if you've left a whole mess behind you, getting to the place you had to go to, you're kind of having to deal with that. So that's nothing absolutely like you never played before, but you know, fairly challenging, and I think it's like a one-man team. So it's Neon Thrust, I think 99 cents. And another kind of one-man team chap is a game called Slice Master. And as you kind of might imagine, there's been actually a few that I've obviously kind of Slice It was the big kind of one.
What was that? Was that Keith falling off his chair?
No, it's got, I'm hearing echo. A little bit. It's Keith falling off his chair.
Yeah.
It's gone, isn't he? Anyway.
It's gone.
Slice Master is a bit like kind of Slice It. It's, I guess, a cross between kind of Slice It and Physics.
That wasn't very subtle.
What?
Keith?
What?
That wasn't very subtle.
What's he doing?
He's gone up.
I went to powder my nose.
You picked your nose.
I went to powder my nose.
Oh, that's okay then. you've confused Will, and that means you confused me.
I would have gotten away for it were it not for pesky Will.
Yeah, if you kept going on about it, Will, you would have got away with it. So anyway, so Slice Master is it a kind of, I guess, a a cross between kind of Slice It, where you basically kind of chopping things, and it's in like a physics, like a side on physics environment. So when you chop kind of different blocks, they, depending on their physics, they kind of fall in different ways, or they might have kind of bouncing blocks, and you're basically trying to get like a little character to a certain kind of platform. So it's a bit like, I don't even remember, what was that Toshi game? Oh, what was that called? You remember that?
Save Toshi.
So kind of like Save Toshi was doing a similar thing when you were trying to get a 3D little anime mad Japanese character to get a certain platform. So this is doing a similar thing in 2D. Again, I mean, not anything like you've never seen before, but just kind of quite nicely implemented, and you know, for a one person studio. And I think there's a paid version and a free version of that. Or it may just be free, actually. Slice Master, anyway. And not really relevant to our podcast, but I have got an Xperia Play as well. So I've been...
What?
Pardon?
Tediously, I've just been playing Minecraft, where I've not actually really done it.
Oh, Minecraft, yeah. Around. I'm sure it's a great game.
It's really nice.
It is good, actually. Yeah, no, I agree with you there.
Surprisingly nice. Yeah,
I'm looking forward to when it arrives on iPhone.
Oh, never happen, mate. Never happen.
Yeah. So, I'll talk to you about Minecraft after the podcast. Anyway, John, let's have none of that language around here. We hope you have enjoyed this week's podcast. We have certainly enjoyed this week's podcast because it's been quite long for us. It's going to be quite long for you, actually, looking at the recording time.
Got to go to bed.
Yeah, I know. But I've got to put in one more advert and then we'll go to the finishing part. So here we go.
The Middle Ages, harking back to yore. A time of honor, chivalry, and brutal gladiatorial combat. Compete for honor and glory in the old tournament upon thy trusted steed. Smite thine enemy, wielding a most fulsome range of period and somewhat historically inaccurate, but greatly amusing contemporary armaments.
Seek out Nighty Knight with the App Store.
Wrought by Billy Goat Entertainment. Bequeath not for ye sheepish.
Right, so thank you very much for joining us tonight, or today. We will be back next week.
So this we. You said we three times.
We. Bonsoir. Oh, I don't know. Fromage. Grand fromage. I didn't do French GCC. I did German.
Really?
Yeah. Das Rathaus ist über die Brücke und die linken Seite. And on that note, I wish you a great evening.
I'm a bit lower.
I have been Will Wilson, and with me has been June Jordan, and Keith Andrew.
Hello. Goodbye.
Yes. We will talk to you next week, listeners, and have a good one.